Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO. Offer ends this Sunday, February 28th. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and for always giving us a chance to bring you the latest in sound and stories and everything going on in the news. And I did tease this a little bit in the last hour. We have a fresh Jen Psaki cut. She is
Psaki it to me, baby.
Psaki is back, and she's getting a tough question from, if you had to guess, you guys are going to be shocked. The one horse pony is also back, and he's doing what the only thing he knows how to do. Peter Ducey is asking Jen Psaki real questions that don't involve pineapples on pizza or mint chocolate chip ice cream or, you know, how many women the administration has hired. No, he's asking policy questions. Let's see how Jen Psaki handles it.
Why is the Biden administration reopening a temporary facility for migrant children in Texas?
Well, first, the policy of this administration, as you well know, but just for others, is not to expel unaccompanied children who arrive at the border. And the process, how it works, is that Customs and Border Control continue to transfer unaccompanied children to the HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement. That can take a couple of days. I just want to give this context because people need to understand the process. But because of COVID-19 protocols, the social distancing requirements, the capacity at existing Office of Refugee Resettlement shelters has been significantly reduced because, of course, you can't have a child in every bed. There needs to be spacing, and we abide by those spacing to protect the kids who are living in those facilities for a short period of time. And to ensure the health and safety of these kids, HHS took steps to open an emergency facility to add capacity where these children can be provided the care they need while they are safely before they are safely placed with families and sponsors. So it's a temporary reopening during COVID-19. Our intention is very much to close it, but we want to ensure that we can follow COVID protocols as unaccompanied minors come into the United States.
A few things. One is that I am always amazed how COVID can be anything you want it to be whenever you want it to be. It is the dog ate my homework on steroids. It is the perfect excuse. It is the perfect out for anything. If you're in trouble, if you lied, blame it. They used to say blame it on the rain, blame it on the COVID. And so this is another reason. The kids in cages, I mean, the children in migrant facilities, is actually because of, you guessed it, COVID. And she says in that cut that it's temporary, but I want to read you this. This is from the Washington Post, so not exactly a Trump-supporting conservative outlet. Government officials say the camp is needed because facilities for migrant children have had to cut capacity to nearly half because of the coronavirus pandemic. At the same time, the number of unaccompanied children crossing the border has been inching up, with January reporting the highest total, more than 5,700 apprehensions for that month in recent years. What happened in January, Jared?
I'm trying to think what the difference is.
There's a lot of shifts that are happening now, and she mentions COVID, and I'm kind of happy she gives us this reason to talk about it, because she brought it up also yesterday, and I want to play that cut as well. She's telling us, this is Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, that there's, if you've been wondering, you know, when is this going to end, or, you know, when do we get back to normalcy? We had Dr. June Def on yesterday. He said herd immunity could be here as soon as April, but not according to the Biden administration. They do not want you to stop feeling like a shell of your former self. If you've been looking out the window day in and day out at this dreary New England life of yours and thinking, when am I going to get back to normal? When am I going to see my friends? When am I going to be out at a bar screaming over people with a vodka soda in my hand? They're here to remind you that there is no end in sight. Listen to Jen Psaki. This is cut three.
We need to remain vigilant, both from the federal government, the American people need to, you know, and it's still going to be months and months of sacrifice, of work, of suffering, unfortunately, in order to get through the pandemic.
Months and months. And then I read another article today with Dr. Fauci, where he is informing all of us that he does not think that we should, you know, get back to indoor dining or going to the theater. I don't know if Fauci knows this, but most theaters have shut down at this point. That's not going to be as much of a threat. But indoor dining could be. And Fauci is here to tell us that he does not want that to happen. I'm reading now. Let's see. This is, Business Insider? I'm not sure. It says, COVID death toll should have been much lower, but masks became politicized, Fauci says. How they can even write that headline without realizing how stupid they sound? Masks became politicized. He was the same guy who in March told us we didn't need to be wearing masks. That it was kind of like a placebo thing. It made you feel better. And now he's telling us to wear two masks.
Classic mix-up.
He's on Rachel Maddow complaining about how the Trump administration wouldn't let him on with her. You know, he's like flirting with her, basically. It's gross. And then he's on Al Franken's podcast, and he's talking about things becoming politicized. Give me a break. But I promise, guys, I'm not going to go into a whole Fauci spiel. I did that yesterday. What I do want to do for you guys, though, is play a little bit of Dr. Scott Atlas. Remember him? He was part of the Trump team. And he's been on Howie's show a bunch. He's great. He tells you it like it is. He doesn't mince words. And he's not into the panic porn that has taken over our country. Let's play cut eight.
There's not only no accountability, there's a repetition of stuff as if it were never proven wrong. I mean, we're seeing it with the schools. We see it with all these super spreader, you know, things that you just said. We're hearing just waffling on things because I think you're right. People have a lot of pressure, and that's understandable. They don't want to be wrong, except they're instilling fear.
Exactly. And that is part of the problem, is that it's fine to not know what's going to happen. But after a certain point, if all your predictions skew so negative, and everything's doomsday, and everything's, you know, blech, and the sky is falling, and don't get too excited, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, then I'd start not listening to you. Everything Fauci predicts is negative, and it hurts businesses, and it shakes people's faith in the future. And I agree with Dr. Scott Atlas. It's like, at a certain point, I'm not saying Fauci deserves to be shunned from society, but at a certain point, you do take the microphone away. You stop giving him the TV hits over and over again. This is also Dr. Scott Atlas. This is cut nine.
When you look at the American media in particular, and part of it is these interviews where people keep stressing what we don't know, what might happen. And we know so much, like you pointed out, about the variants. There's no evidence that there's some kind of massive spike due to these variants. There's no evidence that there's increased lethality. But we have American stories. If you look at the data from the National Bureau of Economic Research, over 90% of American stories were negative and therefore fear-invoking, whereas in Europe, just over 50%.
Yeah, what is this? And I know people say ratings, but I don't believe that. Because no one I know really is watching the news anymore because they're so depressed by this constant cycle of negative, negative, negative news. Most people have just blocked it out totally and go on Netflix and watch reruns of Bridgerton or whatever people watch now. But I don't see a thirst for this doomsday cult following that Dr. Fauci seems to have. I don't know who likes hearing from him. I don't know who likes watching these shows where they talk about 2025 and 2026 and when will we get back to normal and will life ever get back to normal? I don't think people like hearing that. Let's play one more, Jared, before we go to break. This is Dr. Atlas, Cut 10.
When you have people that keep repeating that kind of stuff, misinformation, totally ignoring the science on the masks, actually, completely ignoring, and therefore pushing false information, they're instilling fear, and that's what's worrisome here. Because when you look at the data on the surveys, over 70% of Americans say they will wear a mask after the pandemic is over. That's very frightening. We have a damaged American psyche, and it's due to these public health officials that are just really not saying the real data, probably because they don't want to admit that they were so wrong.
That's Fauci. I mean, he's not saying it out of respect, probably, but it's Dr. Fauci. And someone tweeted out a few months ago, I can't remember who it was because I would love to give them credit, but they said, keep in mind that while this might have been the worst year of your life, some of these hacks, it was the best year of their life. And think about it. No sporting events for you. Guess who got to throw out the first pitch? Dr. Fauci. You know, no events for you. Guess who's getting million-dollar prizes for his great work? Dr. Fauci. Guess who's the highest-paid federal employee? Dr. Fauci. I was texting my friend about this yesterday, and she said, I just, you're so angry at this little doctor. It just doesn't like seem like it makes any sense. I said, but if you're paying attention, it makes sense why people are angry. Because if he sees what every single comment he's making does to the United States, it sends us all into a tizzy, then he would shut up. He would stop doing these interviews. I'm really, really, really at my wit's end with this. I cannot believe they keep giving him airtime. Guys, we'll be back with your calls. I see people are already getting fired up about this. 844-500-4242. Take a deep breath, Grace. Because you know what? There is good news. And one of those things is that you have Genesis 950. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. The reviews are amazing. This is one product that actually works. I use it. A lot of people think because Howie talked about it a lot with pets, it's a pet product. It's not. It just works great in general. If you do have pets, it's great for if they, you know, pee on the rug or whatever, but it's just a good product to have. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component moves pet odors from carpet and padding, and it can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for your family and for your pets. Genesis 950 is made in America. That's my favorite part about it. If you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. That's a lot of product. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. Like I said, it's great for bathrooms, kitchens, floors, upholstery, and grease stains. Consider Genesis 950 before purchasing new carpets. Genesis 950 has great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. I'll be back on the other side with a poll question and with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
You're a one-horse pony.
That was Joe Biden saying one-horse pony. We've been getting some calls of people trying to educate me on the actual saying. I know it's one-trick pony. I'm quoting Lunch Bucket Joe and his infinite wisdom. If the president can say it, so can I. Guys, today's poll question is brought to you by Genesis 950. Use Genesis 950 for all your cleaning needs. Use code word GRACE to save $10 and get free shipping. Go to genesis950.com. That's genesis950, a lot cheaper than replacing your carpets. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which of Merrick Garland's answers thus far concerns you the most? Antifa may not be domestic terrorism, allowing transgender athletes to play women's sports, won't commit to criminalizing illegal border crossings, won't commit to releasing the Durham report.
I'm going to say illegal border crossings.
Illegal border crossings still in the lead at 38%.
And this does seem to be the hot topic of the day. Saki's getting more questions about it. Let's play some of that sound, Jared.
Merrick Garland was asked yesterday if illegal entry at the border should remain a crime, and he said, I haven't thought about that question. Does President Biden believe that illegal entry at the border should remain a crime moving forward?
Well, I think he was being asked as the Attorney General, the future Attorney General. I think he's looking to head to be confirmed of the United States. And if he wants to make considerations independently, he can certainly do that. But the president.
Thank you, Jared. Pause it there for a sec. What is this obsession with never just answering the questions?
It's called not having an answer.
Yeah, but. Even so, now she's telling us why Merrick Garland, or as Claire McCaskill said, Garland Merrick, why he's responding the way he is. And she's doing this circle around about that. And she's, you know, bending herself into a pretzel to talk about what he said at his confirmation. What? Answer the question. Does the president think it's illegal to cross the border? It's not a hard question. That's the part of this that drives me crazy, is that I would love to see Jen Psaki in a press conference with questions that were asked like they were of Kayleigh McEnany, because she's doing a pretty pathetic job getting these very normal, easy to answer questions, things that you should know the first day you come into office. Does the president think that's illegal? Yes. End of story. But no, because in this crazy liberal world we live in, they're so afraid of ostracizing their far left base that every single time they get a question, they try to make it in a way that everyone's going to be happy. The moderate Democrats, the AOCs, we're not offending anyone. We can't get in trouble for our answers because we don't give any answers. So you can't get mad at what we're saying because we're not saying anything. Go ahead, play the rest.
Spoken to this, and we believe in abiding by our laws. As you know, there, of course, is a process underway at the Department of Homeland Security to take a fresh look at prioritization and who is detained and who is sent back home. So that is something happening from the Department of Homeland Security. But again, if he's going to lead an independent Justice Department, and it's his prerogative to take a look at, you know, any policies under their purview.
I don't care about the fresh look or the purview. It's so easy to answer that question. She goes around and around and around and around. It makes it so much harder on herself rather than just giving a straight answer. But you're right, Jared. The reason she doesn't want to answer is because if she does answer, she's going to get in trouble from someone. You know, some troll on Twitter is not going to be happy with Joe Biden. God forbid.
Biden will throw her under the bus again like he did the other day.
It was a miscommunication. Do we have another cut of Psaki from today? I think she had a little mix up. All right, we're waiting on
And that. I think the challenge here, as you know, is that people are fleeing prosecution. They're fleeing very difficult economic circumstances and hardship.
I don't want to be a stickler, but I think she meant persecution.
I believe she did. She was talking about the migrants coming from Central America.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? We might as well just finish off this segment with a little bit more Psaki. This is cut two.
Even while acknowledging the grim milestone that we're hitting today of 500,000 deaths in the country, it's worth mentioning that around the country, cases, hospitalizations, and deaths currently are plummeting. And as the pace of vaccination increases, I'm wondering, does the administration think that we're either at or close to a sort of turning point as it comes to the pandemic?
Well, I certainly understand the question, and it's one that I'm sure all of your friends and neighbors are asking you as well. But I know that there'll be a briefing later this afternoon with our health experts, as we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know, I would say, though, that 500,000, a milestone of 500,000 deaths is certainly not something we're celebrating.
I would hope not.
He never mentioned celebrating. What?
I'm just every time. And you know what? Let's play a little bit of cut five. Oh, no, we're out of time. Guys, when we get back, we got Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. She's really going to tell us what's the problem with Biden's border policies. She's not going to give us the runaround like Jen Psaki. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Talk a little bit more about the law enforcement challenges at the border, which I know a number of other members have brought up with you. Just a fundamental question. Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
Well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think, you know, the president has made clear that we are a country of with the borders and with a concern about national security.
That would be Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland with a really, really weak response to a seemingly easy question that I think most of us would know how to answer. I know one person who would definitely know how to answer this, and that would be Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica, thank you for so much for being with us today.
Glad to be with you.
Jessica, I want to start, and we're going to get into more of the details here with ICE and the deportations, but my first question for you is, did you notice a shift that happened yesterday when news broke about the Biden administration opening up these facilities for unaccompanied migrant children? They were saying instead of kids in cages, it was facilities and, you know, and areas. There was a lot of different semantics rather than the really dreadful semantics that were used during the Trump administration.
That's exactly right. This is really stunning hypocrisy. You've got it exactly right. Jen Psaki was on the defense for sure when asked, you know, and pointed out that Kamala Harris had called these facilities, you know, a human rights abuse, and Biden himself had called, you know, the scenes horrifying of putting the kids in these facilities. But now these are facilities that they need because they don't want to expel all of these kids coming illegally whose parents have paid smugglers for them to come into the country. You know, they don't want to do that. They were clear about that. They don't dare do that. But they're putting them into facilities now. And, you know, their cases will be managed. It's not that they will, you know, be, you know, in immigration proceedings for breaking immigration laws, that they need access to education and services, too. Probably in-person instruction, unlike what so many American kids are being denied right now by their state and local governments.
But, well, Jessica, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was a point I saw a lot on social media, was that these kids are getting in-person learning, despite the fact that most American kids are not, they're being forced to do virtual school.
That's right. Because they need our support. We don't, you know, it's their own country and their own parents shouldn't be expected to provide for them. The attitude is that we need to provide for them regardless of the cost or lack of fairness. That this is a burden that the United States and American communities must take on, you know, just because they come. And a complete and total denial of the fact that Biden's own statements and policies are what have led people into this situation of, you know, working with smugglers, putting kids in danger, bringing them here. And regardless of the, you know, the impact on taxpayers, this is his policy. It's a direct result. No one should be surprised that this has happened right now. And it's going to get worse as long as they keep up with this policy of saying that everyone is welcome. Now, they overturned another Trump policy, the Remain in Mexico or Migrant Protection Protocols, which required people coming here who said they wanted to make an asylum claim to stay in Mexico. And they said they were going to start letting people in, about 25,000 people. And they let in a couple of hundred, I think. And then people started to rush the border.
Yeah.
they don't know what to do now. They've kind of shut it down, but they are getting off, you know, kind of a a hard look at reality at the border right now and how it must be managed.
And Jessica, I am going to move on from these migrant facilities, but I do have to say that it really does expose how much of a manufactured crisis it was in the beginning when they were blaming Trump for all of this. First of all, he didn't build the cages. That was during the Obama administration. But second of all, they were acting like this was the worst thing. They were AOC was calling it concentration camps. People were saying internment camps. And then when you see these pictures, I don't know if you've seen them, Jessica, but these look like shipping containers with windows. So it's not exactly that different from what Trump had, you know, supposedly forced these kids to go into, these cages, which, again, he did not build them. But, you know, that doesn't matter to the mainstream media.
Right. Well, they're doing the best they can with the resources that they have and within the restrictions that have been imposed on them by a judge in California. And, you know, it is a difficult situation, but it wouldn't be happening at all if Biden had maintained Trump's policy of not letting anyone in, of requiring them to seek asylum elsewhere or stay in Mexico. That is the most humane way to deal with this situation because it prevents it from happening.
Right. I'm talking to Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Now, Jessica, you've really been writing a lot about Biden's freeze on ICE. And I do want to talk about the recent effects that we're seeing because of this freeze. But first, can you kind of break down for people what exactly he, when he became president, what stopped? Like, what were the differences between his freeze on ICE and what Trump and his administration were doing?
Well, on day one, Biden issued an executive order that basically shut down immigration enforcement, except for cases of terrorists, spies, and the most egregious criminals out there, which is a tiny percentage of the illegal alien population, and said that anybody else requests for ICE to arrest someone, including people released by sanctuary jurisdictions, they had to be approved by the acting ICE director all the way up the chain of command to be on the ICE director's desk for approval. And he's walked some of that back since, but it's still a near total shutdown of immigration enforcement. ICE officers are not allowed to make any decisions on their own except for these cases of terrorist spies and what they call aggravated felons. Now the approval is bumped down to the top ICE officer in the local field office, but the priorities are the same, which is essentially, they call them priorities. It's really a near shutdown of enforcement. And this is in anticipation of a planned reorganization of ICE that would effectively abolish immigration enforcement. One of the things they want to do is abolish deportation officers, because if there aren't any people to do this job, it's not going to be done. And dangling this, calling it a promotion for ICE officers, but being promoted into a position where you can't do the job you signed up for. And ICE officers I've spoken with are very upset about this. But it, you know, they plan to abolish immigration enforcement. There's no other way to describe it.
And Jessica, I want to read from one of your stories here, and the title of it was ICE Records Reveal Disturbing Impact of Biden Enforcement Freeze. But this statistic blew my mind. You said in 2018, ICE removed 95,360 aliens from the interior of the country. If the new Biden deportation policies had been in force and applied to ICE's 2018 interior caseload, a total of 91,993, or 96.5%, would not have been subject to removal. That's a pretty astounding number.
That's right. And the Biden team does not want everyone to remember that criminal aliens have always been the top priority for ICE in immigration enforcement, and there are other ways to bring about, you know, to encourage illegal aliens to leave on their own, like denying them jobs and so, and driver's licenses and, you know, the public benefits and so on. But so stopping ICE from doing its job, the effect of that is that criminal aliens, and we're talking about illegal aliens who have been arrested and prosecuted for crimes and convicted of crimes, are going to be sent back to our communities instead of back to their home country. And it's tens of thousands of people every year in every part of the country. And there is going to be a human cost for this. We know that, criminals reoffend. It's not like real rocket science. And they're going to reoffend. And, until, I guess, somebody in the top level of the Biden administration has to experience the pain of being a victim of one of these criminals, they're not going to understand it. They don't think it affects them. They're more interested in giving amnesty to the entire population of illegal aliens and the ones deported by Trump and, just expanding immigration, I guess, to, replace Americans with people who are more, kind of docile, I guess, for their policies. But there is going to be a public safety cost for this, and it's so preventable. They are in complete denial about what the effect of these policies is going to be.
Yeah, and I think just listening to Merrick Garland, the AG nominee, you can hear the denial and this, detachment from what's actually happening. But to your point, that's something that really frustrates me. And I don't want to say it's all Democrats, but it's just about people in general, that something has to be so literal and hit so close to home before people realize how it could have negative effects. Like, unless it happens to them, they're not going to understand it. When for most people, if you watch one of these angel moms, all you have to do is watch a minute of one of their videos or one of their read one of their stories. And you can, even if, you don't live in Texas or you don't think it's going to happen to you, you can empathize and you can see why this is a huge problem. But a lot of these political figures, they really don't think this is ever going to affect them.
That's right. Their kids aren't going to school in the schools where these unaccompanied minors are coming. They don't have to live in neighborhoods where the quality of life is destroyed by the criminal activity and the gang members extorting businesses. They don't notice their taxes going up, I guess. It is a detachment, and I wouldn't wish any tragedy on anyone. What I would rather happen is I hope that law enforcement agencies around the country will somehow get, have some influence over this administration and explain to them, what's gone wrong. I don't think they're going to listen. They can't even be shamed into changing their views on things like sanctuary policies and benefits for illegal aliens and all the things that make it so much tougher for Americans who are struggling. I don't think they're ever going to quite get it. And, that's why, we're going to, states and local governments are just going to have to push back.
Jessica Vaughn, thank you so much for joining us. She's from the Center for Immigration Studies. You can check out all her work at cis.org. Really good story. Some of this stuff, if you really want to put it into perspective for yourself and see some of these percentages and see some of these crimes that according to the Biden administration don't warrant someone being deported, it will blow your mind. But it's very informative, and it's important to know it. So you can understand how deadly this is. Like Jessica said, this is going to have real world impacts sooner than people think. And I want to echo what she said. I don't want anything like this to happen to anyone. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But I do think we have to open our eyes here and be honest about the problem. Jessica, thank you so much. I hope you'll join the show again soon.
My pleasure.
Guys, it's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and the mailroom manager. Many people walk around every day not smiling. Not a good way to live. Your smile changes the way that you feel. It changes how you walk around every day, how you carry yourself. It can really just change your whole mood if you feel confident in your smile. And if you want to understand the impact that a new smile can have, go to perfectsmiles.com and check out their video testimonials. Because if you're going to have a major transformation, you want to be in the right hands. And there's no one better than Dr. Houghton. He really is an artist. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. Their staff is fabulous. You will feel so confident and so calm. Sometimes going to the dentist can be nerve-wracking for people. I totally understand that. But when you walk in there, you know you're in good hands. If you have been wanting to upgrade your look for years, take this as your sign. You know, you're driving in your car and you go, oh, perfect smiles. I'm telling you right now, your life will change for the better. You'll be thinking to yourself, why didn't I do this years ago? Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Again, check out their video testimonials. Don't take my word for it. Take the people who have perfect smiles right now and listen to their words and you'll go, you know what? I can trust this. Change your smile, change your life. We'll take some of your calls on the other side. I'm Grace, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Hope you enjoyed this past hour with Jessica Vaughn. Very informative and frightening, but it's important to know. I also want to mention this. Remember how yesterday there was a lot of talk about Neera Tanden? She is the OMB nominee, and Jen Psaki said, well, you know, she tweeted out that, don't forget, Neera Tanden's a woman, and that should be a qualification. Well, Bill Kristol's on board. I guess in his latest story, he wrote, I feel like there's a bit of sexism going on here. It just seems like these tweets sound harsher to these old guys because they're coming from a woman. Neera Tanden is, she's been criticized for having hundreds, I think, of tweets, really mean tweets about people that you know she feels bad about, or not feels bad about, you know she's guilty because she deleted all of them. And that's the first giveaway. It's like, you know, saying you're sorry right away. If you say you're sorry, then that's the gig is up.
So wait, we are forgiving mean tweets now? Is that what's happening here?
Well, Steve,
because there's a guy who was banned from Twitter who happened to have a lot of tweets that were considered mean.
Alex Jones?
Yes, Alex Jones.
So we're just going to pretend, this is what Stephen Miller tweeted, we're just going to pretend that opposing Tanden is sexist wasn't directly fed to media and journalists by the Biden administration. This is the most hilarious, forced, transparent thing in months. It really is. I mean, it's not, she didn't tweet those mean things because she's a woman and she shouldn't not have to answer for them because she's a woman. James, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, James.
Yes, Grace, the open borders by Biden are really disturbing me completely. I mean, Andrew Cuomo took a bunch of patients who were infected and put them into a healthy population, killing thousands of people. Right. Now, Joe Biden should follow the science that Cuomo tested. We need to cut out the Cuomoization of America.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we don't need, they got to follow the science. That's just plainly it.
Well, but here's the thing, James, and this is something that I'm sure you've realized, is that following the science is one of those things that it's more fun to do if it fits your narrative. Because following the if they really followed the science, then a lot of their major grifts would be done. I mean, John Kerry, he has made a career out of not following the science. Al Gore has made millions out of not following the science. Dr. Fauci is a celebrity from not following the science. Not following the science really does have a lot of positive benefits. You know, you can become, what did Steve Schmidt say? Generational wealth. You can become very, very, very rich and very happy from not following the science. Following the science is a little bit less fun. Guys, when we get back, I want to talk about censorship and also a little bit more news about the Cuomos. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.